It's been a couple of weeks since we were learning Parakeet Sarag together. We have left off the last blot or so is a whole series of psukim of Rava. A whole series of psukim, I should say. Piskei Halacha, each of which is heavily stacked. From Chavav Rebbeis near the top, it is Psakim of Rava. I think of that. Right. The last blot, just about the last blot of the parak, is all the Psakim from Rava. Working up the mission of Adamud Liolam, a whole list of approximately 10 different situations of unusual Maasei Adam. Some of them seem very extreme, and they're meant to help us wrap our minds around what are the parameters of defining Maasei Adam, when people act indirectly, when people act without intent. How do you define the Gedarim of Maasei Adam? We're going to look now at the two cases near the bottom of Chavala Nevez, but Zorak Puri. Where we left off a couple of weeks ago. The Omar Rava and the little Eretz Tzadi, Zara Klimer, Oshagad, Oba'achar, Shvaro, Vimatel. Reuven throws a glass vase off the roof. Reuven throws a glass vase out the third floor window. Bad idea. Oba'achar, Shvaro, Vimatel. So what's going to happen to the vase? Obviously, it's going to break. It's going to hit the floor, it's going to break. It's sort of like the famous line, you can't fire me, I quit. Reuven threw the vase out, the glass vase out the window. Reuven threw the glass vase off the roof and left its own devices. The glass vase will break. But Shimon is doing some batting practice down below and takes a swing and smashes the vase a couple of feet before the vase hits the ground. It was going to break anyway. It was going to break because Shimon, Reuven threw it. But in the end, it didn't manage to get to the ground because Shimon took a swing at it. Shimon, the batter down below, took a swing. So you have the Zorik and you have the Meshaber. So Potter, he is Potter. A lot of ambiguous pronouns here. You have the Zorik and you have the Meshaber. Right? One person's up top, you threw the vase, the second person's down below with the baseball bat, and he actually breaks it. Potter, he is Potter. Who's Potter? Who's Potter? Rashi says, Zesher Shor B'Makel. It's the batter is Potter. How did Rashi know that we're saying the batter is Potter? Because of the next line. My time, like Mark says, you know why he's Potter? You know why Rabbi said Potter? Mano Tavira Tavar. Because Kli Hu Shavar, Kli Shavur. Mana is Aramaic for Kli. And Tavar, Tes, excuse me, Tav, Beis Reish, is one of the classic examples of where Shin in Hebrew corresponds to a Tav in Aramaic. So Tavar is like Shavar. Mana Tavira, a Kli Shavur, a broken Kli, Tavar. Mana Tavira, Tavar. He broke a broken Kli. It's reminiscent of the Agada in, I believe, Masechet Gittin, Parakan Yidakin, the Agadas of the Churban Bayis Sheni, where the Gemara says, when Titus Arasha burnt Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Sheni, it was Kimchat Chinat Tachan. He was grinding wheat, which was already ground. No, the building was physically there, but the spiritual essence had already been sucked out because of Chatam of Klal Yisrael. So it was a physical shell, but it was already lost its spiritual power, its spiritual durability. He ground that which was already ground. They take whole kernels of grain, you're growing them. That's real work and that's real impact. But here, it was already flour. You're putting flour through the mill again. Not really doing anything. So a similar nusach to the nusach here. Mala tavira tavar. You're breaking a kli. It's already broken. Now, who is breaking a kli which is already broken? Who's that a reference to? The thrower or the batter? Obviously, the batter. And the thrower, when he threw it, it was not nothing. It wasn't broken until he threw it. And what we're saying is, the batter is potter, because at this point it's already going to break anyways. It's already going to break, as Rashi says. Potter is Esh Shavar B'Makil, Kodem Shvirasa, Sharei Sofer Lishaver. He who, the fellow down below, who broke it with a, he broke it with a bat before it broke. I mean, he broke with a bat before it broke. How do you break it before it broke? What does that mean?
It was broken, yeah.
Before it would have otherwise broken. He broke it at, 5:07 and 9 seconds, before it would have otherwise anyhow broken at 5:07 and 11 seconds, right? AP physics, right? So you can predict, if I know the height of the building, and I know the initial velocity of the vase, so I can calculate exactly when, we can calculate. It was going to hit the ground at 5:07 and 11 seconds, and shatter. So he broke it before it would have otherwise broken. But he's potter, Shari Sofali Shaver, because it would have broken anyhow, because it already destined, it was already, the system was already in place for it to shatter at 5:07 and 11 seconds. So the fact that 2 seconds earlier, at 5:07 and 9 seconds, you took a bat, he smashed it, you're not high for that, because it was already Shavur, now it wasn't literally Shavur, but it was en route. It was already in process to break. So you didn't do anything. Okay, intriguing. And come back to that very soon. Let's briefly see Rabba's next statement. Zorak kli me rosh hagad. Fellow throws a vase off the roof. V'hayu tachtav kar muksasas. But this time, case number two, that I threw the vase off the roof, but there was a trampoline down below. There were cushions down below. So I was throwing the kli off the roof, but nothing was going to happen. It was just going to hit the cushions. Okay, that's an odd thing to do, but technically not risky. Not risky unless you introduce the human element. There's someone down below, Bonacher Basilka. The guy down below pulls the mattresses away, pulls the cushion away. The guy down below, there were a whole, pulls the trampoline away, cuts the trampoline strings. And now all of a sudden, there's no trampoline, and the thing hits the ground and smashes. Or even caught that basilica. The fellow who had thrown it runs down so quickly, somehow, and pulls it away. Maybe it's on a string, it's on a pulley, so he throws it off the roof, and it yanks, there's a string to yank it away. He's controlling it with an app on his phone. Okay. Deflates the pillow, the cushion down below. Smash. Potter. Wow. He's potter. Who's potter? My timer. Let's see once again. What's the reason? What's the rationale? The idna deshadye pasuke mistiki gire. Because when he threw it, his chitzim, his arrows, his giri, were broken. So clearly, which person are we talking about? The thrower or the cushion remover? Now we're talking about the thrower, right? So the first member of Rabba was focused on the second person. The Meshaber is part of the Matzvir Tavar. Now we're focused on the first person, which is why Rashi says, Zorak Mazik Kelem Erosh Agag. It's not the owner. It's some guy, some nefarious fellow, threw Kelem off the roof. But there were karmic excesses. He wasn't really such a Mazik. Ends up he was a Mazik. But he's potter. Why? Sharei mizrika so in soful li shaver. It wouldn't have broken based on it throwing along because there was cushion down below. Achi not la karim. It wouldn't break unless the karim are taken away, unless the mattresses are taken away. Vizeshin atal hakarim, the guy who pulled away the mattress down below, and even if it's the same guy, potter. Why is he potter? Because grama benizakin habi. Because this is Grama bin Yizakin. Ah, so really the Mazik is the guy down below. But here we have a new concept, which is indirectness. Yes, the guy down below is the Mazik. But what he did is only Grama, it's not actually Maisa Hezek. This is a concept we've come across in the past. Gemara says in several places, Grama bin Yizakin is Pater. If you were Mazik in a very indirect fashion, you are Pater. Now Tosis, right, this is one of the places where Tosis raises the following issue, that there are in fact not two levels, Maisa versus Grama, but three levels, Maisa, Garmi, and Grama. Now, Pirish of Alphas, the Rabba le Taime de Les le Dina de Garmi Beresha goes with Kama. That's a big, the middle case, where it's somewhere in between really indirect, Grama, and actual Maisa Adam, the in-between intermediate situation of Garmi, that's what it seems to be, intermediate situation, the Gemara does, in a number of places, have a Machlokas Tanan, whether Reb Meir is done, Reb Meir held your Chayiv on Garmi, and others held that your Patur. Everyone agrees that Maisa, regular Maisa Adam, your Chayiv, that's Mishnayis, that's not Mazik, and everyone agrees that Rama, your Patur. As in, you ought to pay, but your Patur, but the end of the basis can't make you pay. There's Garmi, which is a Machlokas HaTanon. So, the Rif, Tosus quotes, Timas al Kadam, the Rif said, oh, this is a Garmi case. And Potter, ooh, Rabba holds that you're Potter on Garmi. Rif says, not so surprising. He said that elsewhere also. Okay, so this is really an intermediate case. And the reset, but that's pretty significant. Because Rabba is not being challenged here. It sounds like there should be halacha l'maisa. It sounds like the Rif is saying, wow, maybe this is an indication that Garmi is Potter. But if I go ahead, what's a classic case of Garmi?
Burning
Shtar. Exactly. Sor of Shoros or Shal Chaver. Right? Later in Bava Kama. Right? Let's say Eitan lent no one in this room is named Zvulun. Right? No Zvulun? So Eitan lent Zvulun, and there are no... What's another state's name? There are no Shneirs. So Eitan lent Zvulun. Eitan lent Zvulun $100,000. Eitan lent Zvulun $100,000, and Zvulun wrote a shtar. Or Zvulun hired an agent to sign a shtar. Right, Zvulun presents Eitan with a shtar that Zvulun borrowed $100,000 from Eitan and owes him the money at such and such a date. But right now, Eitan is out $10,000, $100,000. But he has that shtar, which is his key to retrieve the money on the due date. Shneir comes along and burns the shtar. So now, if Zvulun is an honest fellow, he's going to pay the money back anyways. If Zvulun is a shyster, he may not. Right? Or if Zvulun doesn't have the money, Zvulun borrowed the money in order to start a business, unfortunately the business went bust. As little as I'm so sorry, I don't have the wherewithal to pay back, but you can go to my Sheep and Nechassim. Come to the Sheep and Nechassim, you can have the Shtar. Eitan is now Shtarless. And so either because of Zvulun's dishonesty or because of Zvulun's business failures, Eitan can't collect the money without the Shtar. He has no Shtar because Shneir burnt it. So Shneir is the star of Sharos of Shachaveru. So Eitan's going to go to Shneir and say, you caused me a hefzer, $100,000. And Shneir says, what do you mean? I caused you a hefzer of $2. A piece of paper, I burnt the paper. Pennies, dollars. No problem. I'd be glad to pay you for a piece of used paper. How much would that piece of paper sell for, market value, with something written on it?
It was fancy paper.
Fancy paper. But used paper. Right? It's definitely not worth $100,000 to anyone but Eitan. There's not a market value of $100,000. But burning it did cause Eitan clearly caused Eitan a loss of $100,000. So that's the Gemara's classic case of Garmi. So Rif says, this case is the same as that. The things that the vases falling are going to fall onto mattresses, and you come along, you yank the mattresses away. So that's Garmi. You didn't directly smash the vase, but you clearly caused it to happen. So the Rif says, oh, this is Garmi. Rabba says Garmi is Potter. And the Tosa says, but the Bala Tosa says, nah, Ulari near the heart, Gurama bin Izakimu. This isn't the intermediate Garmi, like Sov Sharosho Shachavero. This is a lower level, as Rashi said. It's Gurama, Upato the Kuliyama. This is not so exciting. This is not taking a stand on the shaila of whether Garmi is higher or potter. Nah, this is lower level. Fascinating. So what's the machlokes about? The Rashi Efter pointed out in Shurim 20 years ago that what's really going on here in this Tosis is a machlokes over how do you define the difference between Garmi and Grama, which does sound like what they're talking about, right? Is this a Garmi case? Is this a Grama case? The Beir Agra understands the Rif and the Rambam think that the difference between Gamri and Grama is intentionality. Shogeg versus Mason. So for the Rif, you clearly have intent to do harm here. That's what the case sounds like. Particularly if it's the guy himself who threw it off the roof, who then yanks away the mattresses. And there's a clear intent to cause harm. So for the Rif, the Rambam, if they differentiate between Garmi and Groma at all, either they don't differentiate, it's all the same thing, so that's of course the same thing, or, and Groma Nizakin just means that those who don't hold Garmi, hold Garmi Nizakin Pater, right? Or if you say there's a difference, if Vilna Gaon says the difference between Garmi and Groma is Shogeg versus Mazid. So this is Mazid, and therefore the Rif said, this is Garmi. Those who are Mechayev Garmi, otherwise known for the Rif as Grama b'mezit, should be Mechayev here. Rabba says Potter. Why? Well, Abba holds Garmi is Potter. Whereas Tosos and many other Rishonim, particularly Ramban, think, no. The difference between Garmi and Grama is not, was it done on purpose or by accident? Was it Mezit or Shogeg? No. They take the standard approach, is that both Tosos and the Ramban, it has to do not with intentions, but with a degree of directness. And this is, there's a, like we said before, a spectrum. From Mamish, I took a bat and I smashed your vase, or I took a baseball and I threw it at your vase. That's Maisa Adam, either Begufo or Bekoho, but that's Maisa Adam. That's absolutely direct. To somewhat indirect. And actually directly destroyed 100,000. It's not like I took a bag of money and I burnt it, but it's pretty direct. So a case of Grama like here, which is even less direct. Why is this even less direct? You're thinking about the quality of the action, not the degree of intent, but the quality of the action. Why is this even less direct? Why is this more room? But I didn't touch the vase. I didn't touch the vase, nor did I make the vase move. Neither. I didn't touch the vase. The vase is already moving. I didn't touch it. I changed the context. Obviously, very significantly. I knew what was going to happen. But so that's Grama. That's what Tosfos says. That's Grama. That is a further machlokes, which we mentioned a couple weeks ago between Ramban and Tosfos, whether the chiyuv on, if you hold Garmi, it's chayiv, is it chayiv min haTorah or chayiv min drabanan? Rabban says min haTorah, Tosfos says min drabanan, and the Shach points out what that means is the line between Garmi and Grama, Doraisa or drabanan, and that's going to impact how sharply you define this issue of degree of directness. Okay. Is that a drabban distinction, a Doraisa distinction? For Tosfos, it's more a question of making zeros, what sorts of cases we want to avoid. But either way, it relates to, again, the important machlokes in terms of exactly how you would formulate the line between Garmi and Grama, machlokes and Tosfos Rabban, again, rooted in the fact that machlokes, where that line is Doraisa Rabban. But what they both agree on is that Garmi is more direct than Grama. Garmi lies between absolute Maisa and Grama. And that's why the Ri says this is a Grama case, because this is very indirect. You're not touching the vase, nor are you causing the vase to move. It's not even like I touched something and because of me the vase fell. The vase was falling anyways. I changed the context. So obviously I caused it to break, but I was an indirect cause of its breakage. Whereas the Rif, who, if he differentiates between Garmi and Grama, differentiates on the basis of Vilna Gaon says of not the quality of the action or the quality of the causality, but the quality of the intent. So, but the Rif says this is Mezid, this is Miskavin. You had nefarious, malicious intent, and therefore this is Garmi. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let's go back. Now that our eyes were opened, we had a chance to look through the sugya, and among other things that opened our eyes to Maisa, Grami, and Rama, let's go back to look at the first memra of Rabba again. What was the first memra of Rabba? Again, the Zarek Limerosh Agag, but rather than the second person taking away, to taking away the protection, he actively broke it. Now, on the one hand, the second person is an active breaker. You're not going to call him a grum or a gummy, that's for sure. He's taking a bat. That's a real ilcha masa gadol mizeh. He took a bat and he swung at it. And it was a direct hit. Home run. He smashed it to smithereens. So the first case of Rabbah, the second guy, real maisa. No shred of grumma. On the other hand, in the first case, the first guy also did something that could have, would have broken it. There were no mattresses when he threw it. There was hard ground down below when he threw it. It would have broken. Zarakli Mirosh Agag, which made it into a mana tavira, and then this guy comes along, the second guy is Tavar, the mana tavira. Now, one more interesting thing about this Rashi, about this Gemara, we're going to look at an earlier Gemara at the beginning of the parak, which quotes Rava in a larger context. It'll give us a chance to sort of think things through a little more. But before we even get to that, it's just worth noticing that Rashi says something interesting in the first case about the first guy. Zarkli Mirushagag, if the Zorik, Reuben is the Zorik on top, Reuben is the guy who tosses the vase off the roof, and Shimon is the banner down below who actually smashes it. Reuben sets it up to break at, what do we say? 5:07 and 11 seconds. And Shimon is the one who actually catches it at 5:07 and 9 seconds and snaps it. Practicing his fire tennis. So, what does Rashi tell us about Reuven and Dav Chavavavavez? Team Tag Rashi? Yeah. Rashi says, who threw it? Balak Zarak Balak Kli. Kli Miroshagat. It's the owner of the Kli. Reuven, who threw it, is the owner of the box. That's interesting. Why did that have to be so? Why did that have to be so? And remember, in the next case, he has to change it to Zarak Mazik Kelen Rosh Hagag. Why? Because in the next case of Rabbah is talking about the first person. He's talking about, is the Zarak Chayiv or not? Right? In the first case, Rabbah's talking about the Chiv or Patur of the second person. But in the second case, he's talking about the first person. So clearly, in the second case, the first person is not the Baal HaKli. They're not going to tell you the Baal HaKli is Patur Chayiv. It's your own Kli. Right? That's intriguing. So Rashi's going out of his way, even though in the second Rabbah's second case, it sounds so parallel. In Rabbah's second case, the Zorik is not the owner. Rashi felt the need to say, in the first case, the Zorik is the owner. That's interesting. That's intriguing. Keep that in mind. Okay. So let's once again let's recap what we have in terms of the first memra. We dealt with the second memra, but now we're back to the first memra. Again, Zorakli Rosh Hagag. The Acher, number two man, is Potter. Why? What did Rabbi say? Why? Why is he Potter? You took someone's vase, you broke it? Manatvir Tavar. Now let's take that. Okay, beautiful. Interesting.
Is the Zore considered a
grama? Interesting point. So Eitan is saying, well, how about the first guy? Is he Potter? He's the first guy. The truth is that you're raising a very, 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 very insightful point. That might be, that may give us a clue as to why Rashi, when Rashi says that the first guy is a Baal HaKli, what he did is take the first guy off the table. We're not discussing whether the first guy is Chayav or Patur, because it's irrelevant. He's the owner. If you break your own thing, there's no one to sue. Huh? Insurance. Sometimes it might be legitimate, but very rarely. Right? If I break my own thing, so the Chayav Patur doesn't matter. I broke it. So that may be what Rashi is. Rashi is trying to explain why the first person is off the table, perhaps. With that in mind, let's take a look at Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis takes us back to the very beginning of the second parash. The very beginning of the second parash. The very beginning of the second parak, the first two davim or so, are dedicated to the din of Sroros. Right, that's one of the, going back to the Shnayis at the end of the first parak, had listed the Chamisha Muadim. The first Muad is Regel. That's why the parak begins Kitza Regel Muadis. And then Mishnah mentions, even though Regel is Muad, Regel pays Nezak Shalim, but there's a special din, that if it's Regel Aide Kocho, it's only Chatzi Nezak. If the cow actually kicks your vase and breaks it as he's walking along, the cow is walking along and smashes your vase, so that's regal aide gufo. Actually, hit it, direct contact between the shore and the item that gets broken, nezek shalom. But if there is not direct contact, if the shore didn't step on the vase, the shore is just walking along a graveled path, and the gravel goes flying because the shore is walking along, the gravel goes flying and hits the crystal vase, that's literally Tsroros. Tsroros means pebbles. And that's the paradigm of Regel Aide Kocho. The shore never taught, it was a Nezek of Regel, it was Derech Hilucho. It was acting normally, Derech Hilucho, but there was never contact between the shore and the Devar HaNizek. It was Aide Kocho. It was the force of the shore, but not the guf, body of the shore. Because the force of the shore hit the pebbles, and the pebbles are carrying the force of the shore at the vase. So that's Maisa, but Maisa Aide Kocho. The difference between hitting something with a baseball bat and throwing a baseball at it. The first one is the gufo, second one is Kocho. Neither one is Garmi or Grama. Both are direct, but one is direct Aide Gufo, one is direct Aide Kocho. Usually, most of the time, there's no differentiation. But by Regel, maybe there's some other obvious shayin also, the Gemara discusses that, but by Regel, there is a differentiation. Regel de gufo nezek shalim, but, that's a normal case, but, regel de kocho, tsroros, chatzi nezek, hilchus gemirila. Gemar gemirila. We usually assume that means it's a halacha, l'moshe misina. At the bottom of Yudayim Abayz, the Gemara goes on for a while raising different interesting questions, different cases of tsroros. How far can you push? How about this? How about that? How about this? How about that? The Rava raised the following shaila. Seven lines from the bottom. And the Gemara is going to seek to answer it using our Zohar Kli. So let's listen to Rava's shaila. And this will give us a chance to watch Rabba's memra of Zohar Kli and Rosh Hagag, Bona Tfira Tavar, we can see it in action. We can see the Amaral working with it, and that will maybe give us some more insight. So what's going on here? Boy Rava, seven lines to the body of Zionists. Darasa, excuse me, Darsa al Kli, Velo Shibiratu. The animal, or the bird, whatever it is, steps on a kli, but didn't break it. Not a glass vase. But it is a glass vase. Right? So the dog is walking along, the cow is walking along, steps on the glass vase, but didn't make a direct hit in the center that would smash it. Hit it along the side. So you hit it along the side, it's a round vase, it doesn't break it, but sends it spinning away. Sends it spinning away, and it goes spinning down the road, smashes into a fire hydrant and breaks. So now what? How would you look at that? How much does the Baal HaDog or the Baal HaShar have to pay the Baal HaVaz? Nezek Shalom or Chatzi Nezek? The Shar directly stepped on the vase, but it didn't break until later. So it was really Koach, was it? Well, that's an interesting question. Is that Kufo?
No.
Is that Kocho?
It's Kufo because it wasn't the Kocho that broke the Kli, it was the Kocho that caused the Kli to move itself.
That's a question. You judge that or you judge
it's
hand.
No, no, it's where I send a particle that breaks the Kli with the dictionary, which is different from the case where
So you could do, on the one hand, this is a higher case than Mir Tsroros. Because at the beginning of the story, there was direct contact between the body of the shor and the vase. But on the other hand, it's not quite as strong a case as classic regal ade gufo, because at that point, you classic ade gufo, the animal steps on it, and smashes it and is still in contact with it when it breaks. Here, it starts in contact, but then it only breaks a few seconds later. When it actually hits, skittles across, when the vase skittles across the street and smashes itself against the fire hydrant on the other side of the street. So Rava was declaring, Tidalom de Shashayla. And how does he formulate it? And here's the case of the Gemara. She gives you the Chakira. Darsal Klevelo Shibratu Miskal Gemalkon Acher Ben Ishbar Ma'u. What's the din? Should we say, Basar Me'ikara Zlina V'gufeyu? We should go Basar Me'ikara. Go after the beginning of the episode. It started with the animal directly touching the vase. That's gufo. Yes, that's chole. Oh, Dilmor, maybe Basar Tevarmana Zlina. I should follow when the kli broke. A few seconds later, when it actually smashes up against the fire hydrant. But at that point, the shor is no longer touching it. Shor's in him. Only kolchom. Rabbi says, "Love the shishayla." He lays out the shayla halacha l'maisa, lays out the chakira. Boom, beautiful. Right, Ram Shem Chaim and the Talmud. Right, everything Yerushalmi Maran are thinking this, but don't formulate it explicitly. So you need to be shown with the Achronim to tease out. Here's what they're thinking. But here, Rabbi says it directly. Here's the shayla, and here's the chakira. Rolled it. So the Gemara says, whoa, why was Rava wondering? His own Rebbe dealt with this in a famous shir. Rava's famous shir about Zara Kli Meirosh Hagag. Gemara is trying to figure out, how could it be that Rava didn't know it's the Befeir Shiraba? Tifshot Le Midiraba. He should have been poshate to be poshate. We use the word pshat to mean explanation. But in the language of the Aramaic of the Gemara, the poshet is to answer a shayla, to resolve a shayla, not a kasha, not an attack question, but I have a shayla, a question of what are the facts, what's the din, so you, when you resolve that question, you give an answer, a definitive answer, it's called being poshet. Why not be poshet the suffix from his own Rebbe Rabba? Why? So isn't it clear? So Rabba knew the answer. The Rabba cheekily rubbed me by late. Rabba was convinced. Rabba wasn't besupik about this chakira. But Rabba wasn't sure. He said, okay, my Rebbe held that way, but maybe not. He was open to disagreeing with his Rebbe. Good. Then the Gemara goes on to bring raya after raya after raya. We bring a raya on a Tabi Yuches from a case of Karnagolim. The Gemara says, doesn't that prove that the Basin Eikara? Then the Reviv Abai says, no, they can give a different shot in that Gemara. Let's see that briefly. We'll come back here. Tabi Yuches on an Aleph. Karnagolim mechatat in the Chevel Deli. The chickens were nibbling at the rope that's holding the bucket. Your classic. Imagine for a moment your classic well. You've all seen the picture. I imagine most of you have never actually seen a real well with a pulley and a bucket. You've all seen that picture, right? The 18th century look, right? You have a deep well, and down below is water. How you get the water down below to up here? So before pumps, the solution was, well, you have a pulley. I have a bucket on a rope, on a pulley. I lower the bucket down with the rope, scoops up some water, bring it up, and now I can empty the bucket. I have water. Gevaldik. Your bucket on a rope, what happens, Morai Rabotai, if a chicken nibbles on the rope, and then cuts the rope, and the bucket falls and smashes down below? Right. So the din is Nezek Sholin. Bryce says Nezek Sholin. Nezek Sholin. That was the Bryce that already quoted earlier on your Zion and Base. Now the Gemara says, ooh, what do you see? That's Mamish, our case. That's Rava's case. Right? Initially, when the chicken cuts the rope, it's touching the rope. But it doesn't break right away. It only breaks a few seconds later when gravity pulls it to the bottom. And it's nashes. So that's mamish, the same case as Rava. So the Gemara says, don't you see Nezek Shalem? You see Basame Kara Gevaldik. The Gemara says, okay. Or maybe that wasn't the case. Maybe the case was that the chicken ran off with the rope and sort of, you know, the chicken held on to the rope until the thing smashed. Now, okay, so the Gemara says, maybe I can prove, maybe I can't prove. But let's go back to Rava. So what do we see, after all, we're here to learn about Rava. What do we see about Rava from this case? Oh, well, Rashi says, look, let's think about this case. What do you see from this case? Rashi, the Rashi near the end of the narrow lines is down. Pater HaMeshabra, the Chayin HaZorik. The one who breaks it is Pater. The second guy is Pater. And Monotvira Tava. But the first guy would have been Chayim. So what do you see? Says Rashi. Basar Meikara is lean on. Obviously we go Basar Meikara. Why? Hold the Sofoli Shaver Lichshianua. Right? Why is the second guy Pater? Because Mana Tvira Tava. The second guy is Pater. The first guy would have been Chayim. Right? Manatvira Tava, Rashi says, means, well, the second guy is Pater because the first guy already broke it. The first guy already broke it. He already broke it. Hasn't even broken yet. But because he threw it, he already broke it. Wow. Kimisha Shavaro Udami. Since, again, Ho'il V'Sofoli Shavil Shenuach. Since, when it hits the ground at 5:07 and 11 seconds, as it's projected to do, we project that because Reuven threw it, it's going to hit the ground at 5:07, 11 seconds and break. So, Ki'ilu Reuven already broke it. So, if Reuven is the Balakli, there's no one to sue. If Reuven is not the Balakli, sue Reuven, but don't sue Shimon because Reuven broke it. It's not Shimon's issue, it's Reuven's issue. Shimon was nice. Shimon doesn't come off as someone with extraordinary midos, certainly, but he's not the mazik. The mazik is Reuven, meaning basar meikar. Good? That was a lot. Let's recap what we have, and then I'll show you some remarkable things in the next 10 minutes. Let's recap what we have. Chavav and Beis, two members of Rabba. The second one opened our eyes to Garma Garmi. That was the Karma Ksasas. But now we're focused on Rabba's first member. Mana Tzvira Tava. Reuven throws it off the roof. Shimon, it's going to break anyways. Shimon comes along with the baseball bat and breaks it a couple of seconds earlier. So the Gemara says, Rabba says clearly Shimon's father. Why? Mana Tzvira Tava. Now the Gemara, okay, so that's Rabba's member. Chavav and Beis. The Gemara then on Yud Zayin quotes it to prove to determine whether Basar Meikara is Lina or Basar Tvar Mana is Lina. Should I follow the beginning when I did my initial Maisa, or should I follow when the result actually occurs? When I set the system, am I looking for really when I set the system up, or when the system actually completes? The Maisa or the Chalois, loosely speaking. If Sprach makes you tingle, so loosely speaking, that's what the Gemara is declaring. Right? Should I characterize the case? Should I define the details of the case based on when I set the system in motion, or when the result actually occurred? Right? So Rava's raising the question in the context of, is it Tzroros or not? Should I characterize this as Hezek Begufo, Hezek Bekocho? Well, it depends. It was Begufo Meikara, but at the moment of Tvar Mana, it was Kocho. Okay? Now, Rabba is raising that issue, not in terms of is it Gufo or Kocho, but how do we look at who is Chayim? The first guy set it up to break, the second guy actually smashed it. So Rashi says, look, but Basar Meikara, Rashi says, means that everything's already wrapped up in the initial Masa, the initial setting up of the system. And Rashi says, that's what Rabba means, where he says, Mara Tavira Tavar. It's very nice at 5:07, 9 seconds, Shimon took a bat and smashed the vase. But at that point it's irrelevant because Reuben had already set up the system to smash in 11 seconds. And we go Basar Eikara. Well, everything relates back to the original Maisa. Now, the Chiddush is, even though the ultimate result of hitting the ground never even happened, it doesn't matter. Since it was set up to hit the ground, it's already considered broken because Reuben set it up to hit the ground. And therefore, Shimon is punished. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. Now, so based on this Gemara, let me ask you a question. Listen carefully. Based on this Gemara, Rabbi, I have a shiloh, Rabbi. Yankel's cow stepped on my vase, which was lying in the street. The vase went spinning across the street and smashed against a fire hydrant. Yankel says he owes me half the value of the vase. If I was a nice crystal vase, $150. So Yankel says, I'm really sorry, my animal did sroros, here's $75. And I say, Yankel, you owe me $150. Who's right? In other words, Rav Shaila, Kocho Gufo. How should we pass it? Now Yankel is saying, Basar Tvar Mona, it's only sroros. And the Nizak wants to say, Nah, Basar Meikara, Gufo. There's a challenge. How do we pass it in Rav's case? How should we pass the Lach Omeisa? Basar Meikar, Basar Tvar Mona. Nezek Shalom Chazi Nezek. What would you say based on what we saw? Basar Meikar. Why? Because that's what Rabbi said, right? Rabbi said, Basar Meikar. Rabbi said, Mona Tzvira Tava. Now, you could tell me, okay, well, maybe we should pass the Lach Rabbi who is Masupak. Okay. But here's the problem. The Rif says both. Please turn to the Rif. The Rif says both. When you start with the Rif quoting the Gemara Chavav, which obviously is not Chavav without the Rif, the Rif on the end of it's Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis B'Daf Yarif, corresponds to Chavav and Beis and Gemar. The very, very end of the second paragraph. If you have a different pagination, just look for a few lines before the end of the second paragraph in the Rif. The Rif writes, Amar Rabba Zarek Kli Mirosh Gago, before that. Amar Rabba Zarek Kli Mirosh Gago, Ubarach of Ashibro B'Makel, Patan. Reuben throws her off the roof. Shimon comes along and smashes on the way down. Patan. By time of Amalei, Mona Tavira Tavar. Patan, because that quotes Rava. Anything remarkable about this? No, it quotes the Gemara. The Gemara said it. The Gemara didn't have any Shiloh. Quotes the Gemara. The problem is when you turn back to the beginning of the parrot, to the riff, at the very beginning, if you have my Tzuras Adaf, it's the very bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph Adaf Be Arif. Otherwise, just look to the very beginning of the second paragraph. Tarnagolim Shayim Mechatit in the Chevel Deli. Here he quotes a case from Daf Yutes, where the chickens were nibbling at the rope that holds up the bucket. Nisak HaChevel V'Nishbar Deli. Here, the riff near the beginning of the second paragraph. Like, let's say 15 lines in or so. Tarnagolim b'chatzit b'chevel d'li. Nifzak ha'chevel, nishbar ha'dli. The rope snaps, the bucket smashes. The shaman nezek shalem. Okay, nezek shalem. That sounds like basar meikar. But then the riff says, oh, we'll pass the basar meikar. V'hu dekaz l'minei minei. It's only if the chicken continues to control the rope. In other words, the Rif paskins here, basar, tzavar, mana. That if my animal sends your vase skittering across the street, it's chatzi nezek. Yet he also paskins like Rabba. So the Baal Hamor says, and Daf Yav, what, where? The riff is talking both sides of Shiloh. Basa Meikara and Basa Tvarman. What's going on? So Ramban says, I leave you with this and we can unpack it a little more tomorrow. Ramban says it must be that the riff read this Gemara differently. That's why I left things a little vague before. The Gemara never said which way Rabbah holds. The Gemara just said, be poshate from Rabbah. Bam Yizayim and Unveg. But said, oh, yeah, for Rabbah it's Pasha, for Rabbah it wasn't Pasha. But Pasha which way? So Rashi said, well, obviously, Basa Meikara, because that's why the first guy is Chayim. The second guy is Pasha because the first guy is Chayim. Now, Ban says, the Rifa must have read the Gemara the opposite way. The Rabbah is telling us, no, Basa Tvarmana. Basa Tvarmana. Meaning, they're both part. Yeah, Rabban says devout. He says what mana tavir tavar mean? So we were assuming, like Rashi, mana tavir tavar is a philosophical statement. It's already nishbar, even though it hasn't physically broken yet, but it's already in en route to break, the system is in place, and therefore, kilu, it's broken. Right? Oh, so that's a statement that the breakage really relates back to the first person, Basa Meikara. Ramban says, and there's a long Machamas, but at the end, last couple lines, he says, I have a different shot in the whole Gemara. Nah. Manatir Tavar, you know what it means? It means something very simple, not philosophical. Manatir Tavar means, sure, the second guy broke it. If I break your vase, I have to pay you for it. How much do I pay you for the vase? Market value, exactly. Market value of the vase. Well, we could have sold, but the moment before I smashed it, we could have sold the vase. It would have retailed for $75, $150. Okay, that's how much I have to pay you. Says Ramban, you know what Tavir Tavar means? Yeah, you broke a vase. But it was about to break anyways. Not philosophically, therefore it's kilu, it's broken. It was about to break, and therefore, you know how much it costs?
Zero.
How much is worth?
Zero.
How much would you pay? Sounds like that, the ultimate eBay spoof, right? You're auctioning off a vase that's in mid-flight. Right? How much would you pay for that? Hopefully, zero.
But isn't the shard at least worth something?
Okay, so maybe in a Hanan, those shards will remain anyways. I just reduced it to shards. Right? So Ramban says, Manatavir Tavar isn't a philosophical statement that Al Pidin, it's already Nishbar. It's a practical statement. It's about to break, and therefore no one would pay you anything for it. And therefore, yes, the Mazik actually is the second guy, but he just happens to have a bill of zero because there's no market value. Oh. So the Ramban says, fascinating. He says, I would come, or at least the Rif came to the exact opposite conclusion from reading this Gemara. The Rif said, Rabba holds Basar Tvarmana. Because if he held Basar Meikara, he should have told me the second guy is Pashut, because the first guy is Chayiv, Pashut. Why didn't you see straight? The first guy is Chayiv, the second guy is Pashut. Basar Meikara. Rabbi didn't say that. Instead, Rabbi said, well, the second guy is positive because he broke something with no value. That's pretty convoluted. Just say I'm positive because it's his fault. So the Ramban says, Kabbal, same Gemara, opposite read. Ramban says, once you accept my reading of Manatavir Tavar, so then you're going to come to an opposite conclusion in terms of whether the first guy is chayv or not. And therefore, whether Basar Meikara or Basar Tavar Mam. And I'd leave you with this. What's ultimately rooted in, as I have to point out a number of times in Shurim, Bava Kama and Tavshin Nuntas, what's ultimately rooted in is a machlokes over how do you define market value. Ramban is a good point, right? Right now, the item is worth, who would pay anything for it? It's about to smash. Great point. How would Rashi respond? L'chora, we don't have time for Raya's now, but L'chora Rashi would say, you don't look at this specific specimen, you say, this type of vase, this brand, this color, this make, this degree of wear, how much does this sort of thing retail for? Ramban understands that kamo shavalimko pashuk means this very specimen, as opposed to saying this category, this type. So really, it all begins with that. The question of how you define kamo shavalimko pashuk, which then, step one. Step two leads to, if we would be mechayev the second guy, how much is it even, is it worth anything or not? For Ramban, it's worth zero, because we're being mechayev the specific specimen. For Rashi, no, this specific specimen is worth zero, but vases of this sort are worth $150, which then impacts how do you understand mana tevira tava. For Ramban, it's saying it has no shavius. For Rashi, it's saying it has shavius, but al pidin, the first guy broke it. Oh, which then leads me to understand that for Rashi, it's talking the first guy's chiyuv, and if he's not the Baal HaKli, he will have to pay. So if you all want to discuss him, he better be the Baal HaKli, which then in turn tells me, Basar Me'ikara. Whereas for Ramban, the Gemara wasn't getting involved in the lumdus of it. It was just saying, talk the same guy's chiyuv, in principle, but there's no bill to pay because there's no shavius, which means in principle the second guy is chayiv, which means basar tevar mana, which is why the Rif, according to Ramban, paskin basar tevar mana, but still paskin like Rabba. Rashi's read of Rabba is basar me'ikara. How can you then go ahead and begin the parak and paskin basar tevar mana? But the Rif says for Ramban, Rabba is actually a source for basar tevar mana. And therefore the Rif is being consistent in, at the end, in our sugya, at the end of the second parak, quoting Rabba, and at the beginning of the parak saying Basar Tevar Mana. And that is one major element of the sugya of Zar Kli Mirosh Hagag. Within Rashi, there's more to talk about, and there's a Tosfos, and there's a Ksos, a lot going on, but this is the biggest picture issue, is this Machlokas, Rashi, and Rambam.